to Ithaca. Well, my tale is told. Odysseus sat down. For a long, aching moment, there was dead silence in the hall. And then, as one, every man and woman rose to their feet and began to applaud. They banged their wine cups and bowls, clapped their hands and cheered. The pages, stewards, and maidservants lining the walls stamped their feet and clashed plates and dishes together like cymbals. Those who could whistled shrilly through their fingers. Under the beard and the sunburn, Odysseus blushed. Without the cover of any beard or sunburn, Nausicaa blushed more fiercely. King Alcinous gestured for silence.
Ithaca's king has paid us all the noblest compliment. Never can this, or let me say any, hall have enjoyed the privilege of hearing such tales of valour, adventure, and, we all recognise, suffering. King Odysseus, man of sorrows, I tell you now, I give you my solemn word, that suffering is over. My family and the nobles of other houses here on Scheria will provision our finest ship with treasure, treasure that is our gift of thanks to you. Our strongest oarsmen will ensure that you reach the shores of Ithaca with all possible speed. I repeat, great king, your suffering ends here. Now, if any man has, you have earned a night's repose, sir. Speedily as Alcinous's words were put into action that day, through the night and into the next morning, it was not quick enough for Odysseus, who paced up and down by the harbour wall with ill-concealed impatience. Now dressed in the finest tunic and a cloak edged in tissue of gold stitched by Queen Arete herself, he looked every inch the king. Nausicaa stood shyly to one side, watching as magnificent golden cauldrons, tripods, jars, and chests were loaded onto the Phaeacian flagship. Odysseus forced a tight smile of gratitude as each local nobleman came forward to explain and describe his gift and to bow and shake the hero's hand. Their descendants would be able to say, "Our grandfather's hand touched the hand of Odysseus of Ithaca." Who would believe them? The fights that would break out in the schoolroom. At last, it was done. Odysseus was aboard, leaning over the rail to thank Alcinous and Arete and murmur soft words of gratitude to a weeping Nausicaa. Her last act of farewell was to remove a gold chain from around her neck and throw it up to Odysseus, who caught it, kissed the large bead of polished amber that hung from it, and waved her goodbye. Now came the first pull on the oars to sweep the ship away from the quay. It was early evening by this time. The crew had laid out a sheet and a rug on the stern deck, and Odysseus lay down. Almost instantly, he fell into the profoundest sleep. Had he forgotten that the last time he came close to Ithaca, he had fallen asleep then, too, only for his men to open the bag of winds and release the cascade of disasters that had kept him from home for so long? So skilled were the Phaeacian oarsmen that the feather touch of their blades hardly seemed to break the surface. Yet the power of the sweep and heave pulled the ship swiftly on. Dawn had not broken when they sighted the Ithacan shore. Still Odysseus slept. They picked him up in his rug and laid him gently on the sand. setting out his treasure all around him, before boarding their ship and sailing away. Odysseus the Wanderer had reached his native shore.